morning again, and happy Sabbath. Good to see all you children here today. So wonderful you're here. Well, today I wanted to tell you about a little story about Jesus. One day he was in a town near Capernaum, and he had overheard his disciples discussing something. And what it was, they were discussing amongst themselves who was going to be greatest in his kingdom. And the Lord, he can hear anything, can't he? He can hear our hearts. He can hear our thoughts. And but he wanted to help the disciples with that, what they were questioning. And one verse that is in the Bible that he told them, it's a very special verse. And, you know, we all have to make choices in our life, don't we? How many of you have to make choices every day? Do we all make choices every day? Yes, we make choices about what we might wear, what we might eat, or what we might do. And we want to make the right choices, don't we? How many of you want to make right choices to follow Jesus? Yeah. Well, his disciples were trying to figure out who was going to be greatest, and they wanted to make the right choices. So Jesus said this to them. He said, He set them down in front of him, and he says, if any of you desire to be first, if any of you desire to be first, to make the good choice, the same shall be last of all and servant of all. And his disciples thought about that. To be last? To be last to go in the kingdom of heaven? To be servant of all? And I would like to share a story with you about someone that made a good choice. And he decided to make the choice that Jesus wanted him to make. Even though it may have cost him an earthly prize, he chose the right one to make a heavenly prize. That's what we want to do, make a choice for heaven, don't we? Well, here's a picture of a young man. His name is Ivan. And Ivan, oh, he loved to run. I'll get the picture out here. Need a couple of hands there. Well, this is him in the green shirt. And he was a runner. How many of you like to run? Do you like to run? Good, good exercise. He liked to run, too, and exercise. He actually ran a lot of races. You do. He ran a lot of races. Well, this particular race, he was running as fast as he could. He was almost to the finish line, but he was second in place. He wasn't first. He wanted to be first. In all his heart, he wanted to be first and cross that finish line first. But there was one gentleman ahead of him. Here's another picture. One gentleman in front of him, he was going to be first. And he was just about ready to cross that finish line. And then all of a sudden, the man in the front, his name, let me look at his name, was Abel. His name is Abel. So we have Ivan in the back and Abel in the front. And Abel and Ivan are running and running and running to the finish line. And they both wanted to be first, kind of like the disciples were wanting to be first or greatest in heaven. They wanted to be first to cross that finish line. But then all of a sudden, Abel got confused. He thought the finish line was, he had already passed the finish line. So he started to stop and slow. And Ivan behind him saw Abel stopping and starting to slow down. And he's like, what's going on? And he realized that Abel didn't know the finish line was about 10 kilometers more to cross that finish line. And it was Ivan's perfect chance to be first, to run right around Abel and cross that finish line first. And he had a choice to make. Did he want to be first here on earth, or did he want to be first in heaven? All of a sudden, he started thinking about what it meant to be first. And you know what Ivan did? He got right behind Abel, and he guided him on. In fact, Abel didn't speak the language in that country, so people were yelling at him to keep going. The finish line's not right there. But he didn't speak the language. So he got behind Abel. Ivan got behind Abel and guided him right to the finish line. And you know who finished first? Abel did. Ivan didn't want to be first. He didn't want to be first here on earth. He wants to be first in heaven. He made a good choice. He wanted his friend to be there first. And he helped him along the way. And that's what we should do too. We should be like Jesus, be a servant of all, helping others. Even though if we look like we're coming last here on this earth, we're becoming first in the kingdom of heaven. And in fact, there's a verse I'd like to read to you from 1 Corinthians 9:24. Know you not that they which run a race run all, that one receives the prize? So run that ye may obtain. It might not be an earthly prize, but you're making treasures and prizes in heaven. Well, let's all pray that we'll have a heart like Jesus and serve others and not ourselves. Dear Father, we just thank you for this dear story and about a right choice that this gentleman made to make a treasure in heaven. And we just ask that we have that same heart, that we will want to serve others and put others before ourselves. And bless these children and all of us here and as we go about serving you today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, you go back to your seats, please.
Good morning. It's time for our morning congregational prayer. And there are blue cards in front of you in the pew if you'd like to fill something out and write that down. Otherwise, you can just come forward if you would like, and we'll have a prayer together at this time. Father in heaven, we thank you that you've given us a privilege to come apart from our busy activities this week and to come and worship you together. We pray for your Holy Spirit to be here. We pray that you would be opening our hearts and our minds to what you want to tell us today, what you want to have us understand from you. Pray for a special blessing on our speaker today, that you will anoint him and that he will have words from you that we need to hear. We lift up before you each request that has been written and those that are on our hearts. You know our needs and you understand us so well. And we pray you will help us to trust you for the things that we request, and help us to understand the things that we do not understand. And I just pray that you would continue to draw us each closer to you, that you can work through us and make us more like Jesus. I pray that you would give each of us the blessing for which we have come today, and that we will all go from here to serve you better. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
It's not time for our offering. The loose offering today will go for the recent immigration outreach to the conference. So since Kansas and Nebraska became states, the population has mainly been made up of people of European descent. Recently, many immigrants from Southeast Asia, Africa, and Middle East have come. Last year, a company of 85 Karen believers was organized in Omaha. Many more Karen people live in cities across the conference. Recently, Korean believers in Kansas City requested conference help for a church plant. Swahili-speaking believers have also requested support to reach their communities. The offering today is designated for recent immigration outreach within the conference. This will not pay for salaries. It will provide programs and resources for outreach to recent immigrant people groups in our territories. And for our church, it helped us buy the bus. This offering helped us buy the bus. So all across the conference, people are donating to this. And let's express our gratitude for the Lord's blessing by faithfully returning our tithes and generously supporting the local church and the conference. The deacons will pick up the offering.
Please stand.
That you give us, that we may return to you. We thank you that you've told us to give a tithe, and that is required, but you've also given us offerings to give to you. That those are from the heart. We ask you to bless these tithes and offerings. And we thank you for how we've actually benefited from these offerings with the bus. We praise you for your goodness toward us, and we come in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
I lost the microphone. Here it is. Anyway, I was going to tell you about the song that we're going to play today. It's Robert Robinson is the one, the author of this song. And he was a very troublesome young man. And his mother couldn't handle him. So she sent him with a friend of hers to go and become a barber. But in there, he got along with the wrong crowd, and so they were very mischievous. And one time there was a revival, evangelistic meeting, and those boys said, "Oh, let's go and make fun of them. Come on, and let's go in there." So they got in there, and they started making a ruckus and just booing and everything. But the pastor continued on, and one thing with Robert, he did not make fun of anything. He continued listening to what the sermon was, and that at the end of that service, he got convicted and he became a Christian. Later on, he went to school and he became a pastor himself. And he wrote this song, "Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing," to enhance one of his sermons. Shortly after that, he went apart from the Lord. And then years later, he thought of these same very words of this song. And it's what brought him back to the Lord. So look in the hymn 334 and follow the words.
Thank you.
Our scripture this morning is in the book of Joshua, if you want to turn there with me or follow along. Joshua 24, 14 and 15. Joshua 24, 14 and 15. Now, therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Amen.
Good morning. Happy Sabbath, everyone. Good to see you all here. Let me get the technology set up. And okay, good. Before we begin, I'd just like to add another word of prayer. So if you just bow your heads with me just a minute. Lord Jesus, this morning, as we open your word, I really want your words to be spoken, not mine. So I just pray that everything that is heard today will be from you. And so I just pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. The talk today is, you can see on the screen there, making the right choices. And it should have been you should have had included in your bulletin a little sheet for taking notes if you so desire. And we're going to be pulling out four principles from God's Word in regards to making right choices. And so you'll be able to write those on there as well as any other notes you want to add. And I don't know if Brenda, where's Brenda Christensen? I don't know if Brenda, if you knew that this was going to be my topic, but your children's story was perfect. I mean, I listening to her, I didn't talk to her. So, she was like, we could just end now with Brenda's children's story. It was perfect. Thank you. So, making right choices. We are faced every day with choices. And if you really analyzed your day, from the moment you wake up until you go to sleep at night is one continuous stream of making choices. All through your day are choices. And the goal that I'm in this talk is to help us figure out how to make good choices and not bad choices. And our choices are everything from whether we hit the snooze button on the alarm or we get up when we set the alarm. Because how many of you have hit the snooze button, stayed in bed the extra hour, and then paid for it the rest of the day, right? You feel like you're behind. So even that very first choice makes a difference. Choices to what we're going to wear. And choices like whether we're going to eat that good breakfast, that hearty, healthy breakfast in the morning that gets us started right on the day. And I know I've presented in Czech Wellness the studies where they looked at people that, well, they actually did a study where one group ate a hearty, healthy breakfast, half of their calories for the day at breakfast, the other group half of their calories at supper. And the difference between those two groups, they were both trying to lose weight. The group that ate half their calories in the morning lost twice as much weight as the group that ate half their calories at night. Both groups had the same number of calories during the day. Just moving it to the early part, to the first part of the morning, they lost twice as much as the other group. So that's a really important choice. What are we going to do when we get up? Are we going to eat the hearty, healthy breakfast? Well, how are we going to go to school, to work, to wherever? Choices all through the day where we're going. And, many of those choices sometimes are vital when you think about people that I remember 9/11 and how many stories were there of people that said, I would normally be there, but I made a choice to be somewhere else. Choices like school. What school am I going to go? Am I going to have my children go to public school where they're taught that we evolved from apes? Or are we going to have our children in Three Angels School where we're taught that we are made in the image of God? Those can be eternal choices for our children, really. Choices like, what am I going to do in life when I grow up? What is my career going to be? How am I going to serve God in life? Who am I going to choose as a life partner? Big decision. Which church am I going to be part of? What beliefs am I going to hold dear to my heart? So there are lots of choices all throughout our days, throughout our life, and we want to make the good ones. Now, some of the choices are the really big choices that can make or break the rest of our life. Sometimes there are choices that we make almost in an instant, and it was a choice that affected us for the rest of our life, type of thing. But most of life is made up with what we think as small choices, right? Life is the accumulation of lots of small choices that, for a lot of us, those small choices set us up to make a right big choice or a wrong big choice. So all choices are important. There aren't really any choices that are just, doesn't matter which way. Whether you wear a blue dress or a green dress, maybe that might not be a big difference. So how do you make the right choices? Let's look at that now. Especially when we have, as we've been talking about, our choices can have eternal consequences. What choice in the maze of life am I making that is going to either eventually lead to the heavenly kingdom or to the lake of fire? So many of these choices are life and death choices. Well, thankfully, God's Word has all the answers and principles that we need to be making right choices. And that's what we want to go through now for the next few minutes. Many years ago, there was found a man who was making the right choices. And it was Joshua. And actually, Joshua 24, the whole chapter is about making choices. And, it's interesting, this chapter 24 is at the end of the conquest of going in, and Joshua was still begging them, the Israelites, to make the right choice. And his life is a real example of making the right choices. Him and Caleb and Moses and Aaron were the only ones that made the right choices all the way coming out of Egypt and so forth, and were able to go into the land of Canaan. So Joshua 24, verse 14 and 15, we'll read it again here. And he's talking about fearing God. Fear the Lord, serve him in sincerity and truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood. Now that's referring back to the Euphrates River and back even back to the call of Abraham out of Babylon and all of the pagan gods that were served through Babylon, Egypt. This is, you know, that pull of Babylon, the pull of the gods of Egypt, were still pulling on the heartstrings of the Israelites even after they've gone into the land of Canaan and conquered the land. He's still pleading with them, leave those gods alone and serve the Lord. And then verse 15, and if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my family, my house, we will serve the Lord. So a very definite choice there between the gods of this world and the God of the world, the Lord. Now, we've all made bad decisions. I'm not immune to that by any shade. We've all made bad decisions. How many of you remember this man? How many of you remember the Watergate cover-up? This happened when I was in high school, I think a junior or a senior, and I remember just being glued to the Senate hearings of this and discovering it was bad enough the choices that President Nixon had made to have these people break into the Democratic National Committee office, but then the choice to cover up and the results of that, you remember, were not good. So the choices that we make can have disastrous results for us. So making the right choice is extremely important. Well, throughout the life of the servant Joshua, God has given us some principles that we must and can always apply, and they work every time. So the very first one you can write down on your little sheet if you want to take notes is this principle here, principle number one, and that is to choose the spiritual over the carnal. The spiritual over the carnal. Now, carnal, we all know, means flesh. It means our desires, our fallen human nature. So, again, verse 14, he's talking about that choice. The gods of the fathers, gods of Babylon, the gods of this world, the things, the ways of this world, or to serve the Lord. And when you look at the life of Joshua, is a good example. In fact, he is a type of Christ. And he chose the right things, and those he influenced. He influenced many to choose the right way and to choose to serve the Lord. 1,500 years later, on the hills overlooking the Sea of Galilee, I think that's the Sea of Galilee there. He was on the northern shore. The Sermon on the Mount, Jesus laid out a principle that fits into this, the spirit, choosing the spiritual over the carnal. And he put it this way. He said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. What are all these things? It's food, shelter, most of the things that we spend our day, thinking about and trying to figure out how we're going to get these things. Those are all these things. God says, put me first, seek me first, seek my righteousness first. All these things will be taken care of. You don't have to put your effort, don't put your main effort in getting the things of this world, he's saying. They'll be taken care of if you put me first. Take the spiritual. So priorities. This is talking about priorities. And he was talking to the children of Israel there at the Sermon on the Mount. What was first in these folks' lives? The choices they were making. So it's about priorities and making God priority number one in everything. Unfortunately, many people choose the carnal, the physical, the clothing, the food, the shelter, or anything else that is not spiritual. They choose to focus on those things and fill their life with those things rather than focusing their life on God. Now, that doesn't mean that we can't have material things. That's what Jesus was saying. The material things will be taken care of. But it does mean that if it comes to a decision between the spiritual and the carnal, we want the right choice is always going to be the spiritual aspect first. God first over all the other things that Madison Avenue wants and puts all their effort, billions of dollars, to get you thinking that if I just get this or that, everything will be good and perfect in my life. And that's why many Christians are unhappy, because they're failing to put God first always. They're focusing on the things of this world, and you'll never be happy if you're always focused on the things of this world, because they always make it so you feel like you have to have the next great thing. So, principle number one is put the spiritual over the carnal. Now, principle number two, similar, the eternal over the temporal. The eternal over the temporal. From verse 14, again, the focus, the choice is the temporal, the gods of this world, the things of this world that are temporal, they're temporary, versus serving the Lord that is eternal, never ending. And verse 17, for the Lord our God, He it is that brought us up and our fathers out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage, and which did those great signs in our sight, and preserved us all the way wherein we went, and among all the people through whom we passed. So he's saying, our God that we're serving is way stronger than all these other gods. He's the one that brought you out of the land of bondage, and he doesn't want you to go back to it. So just like Moses when he was in Egypt, Joshua chose to serve the eternal God rather than to just have the pleasures of sin for a season. And so that's the principle, is don't just choose something that's going to make you happy and pleasure for a short time, but in the process miss out on the eternal. And that's what Moses and Joshua both chose. They chose to follow God and not be focused on the pleasures of this world. Matthew 16, if you want to turn there in your Bible, I don't have it up here on the screen. Matthew 16, Jesus is talking about this. Jesus tells Peter that he's caring more for the things of men than the things of God. This is where Jesus is just told them or is telling them, He says, from the time Jesus began to show to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem, suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed and be raised the third day, Peter took him aside, began to rebuke him, saying, "Far from it, far be it from you, Lord, this shall not happen." But he turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan, you are an offense to me, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men." So Peter was saying, this doesn't fit into our plan. We want temporal supremacy now for the nation of Israel. That's our goal for the Messiah. And he's saying, no, that's not the goal. The goal is way bigger than that. You're focused just on the things of men. And it does require suffering. So he goes on in verse 24 to say that man's soul is more important. So he puts this concept of putting the eternal in front of the temporal by saying, going on to say, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world, loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul?" Here is the idea that our soul, and unfortunately for many people, the idea that our soul is more important than the world is hard for the worldly-minded person to understand. They're not taking into consideration the eternal reward in their thought processes. Unfortunately, so often we focus here on the here and now, instead of focusing on the eternal, the infinity beyond, the eternity beyond. So to make the right choices, we must be heavenly minded, and that requires a miracle of God creating in us the new heart. We talked about that in Sabbath school class today, the pastor's class, that takes an actual creative act of God to create in us a new heart, a heart that has its mind, our minds, set on heaven rather than on the things of this earth. So temporal decisions are just that. This is saying, you can't really see it up there, things that are seen are temporal, things which are not seen are eternal. So we're seeing by faith things that are eternal, that unless we have the Spirit to help us see by faith those things that to the average person walking around on the streets of Wichita, they're going to say, "I don't see it, I don't get it," and that's because they've not been born again. They don't have a spiritual nature that can see the unseen things that we can see through the eye of faith. And that may come down to a choice of a job, a career choice. And it may require that we take a lower-paying job, but in the process gain eternal rewards versus maybe a higher-paying job, but in the process lose eternal rewards. Some people have trouble making a decision because of the conflict here. They are more focused on the temporal. And, for example, a young man said that God wanted him to... He knew that God wanted him to go to the mission field, but he knew he could make more money as a lawyer. than going to the mission field. And while being a good lawyer may get some people out of jail, going to the mission field, doing what God was wanting, may help people get more eternal blessings. So, principle number one, the spiritual over the carnal. Principle number two, very similar, focus on the eternal over the temporal in making the choice which way to go. Principle number three is putting God's will over man's will, or God's will over man's will. And verse 15, he's talking about this idea of whom will you serve, the gods of this world or the God that made the world? Previous generations, just 40 years before he's saying these words, had succumbed to man-made gods, you know, and had influenced the present generation. And because of that, all of that generation was lost out in the wilderness. So Joshua knew that the people had to make the choice between God's will, serving God, doing God's will, and man's will. Now, and Joshua made the right choice by choosing to serve the Lord and led the people to do the same thing. Similar example in the story of Saul, the Paul, when Saul was saved on the road to Damascus, he had been making decisions based on what men wanted him to do. You know, the Jewish leaders, they were very desirous and wanted Saul to round up and to kill all the Christians. And he was doing that. He was doing man's will when he was doing that. But on the road to Damascus, and after meeting the Lord, the first statement that Paul made after that was, "Lord, what will thou have me to do?" So he was wanting to do God's will, not man's will. And so everyone who claims the name of Jesus should be asking, "Lord, what is it you want me to do instead of peers? What is it you want me to do?" So a lot of times we do and act because we have peer pressure. And I don't think any one of us are really immune to that. It seems the strongest during teenage years, but I don't think we ever really fully escape that. We want to please God rather than our peers. So God's will, and we know it never goes against God's word as foundation. So his will is found in his word. And it doesn't matter how you rationalize something. If it goes against God's word, it's just simply wrong. Here's a definition. Rationalization may be defined as self-deception by reasoning. And King Saul's disobedience there in 1 Samuel 15 as an example of how he rationalized his kingship away. He didn't follow God's will perfectly, and he tried to rationalize it to Samuel, and that was the final straw. And Samuel said, "God's going to find someone else to lead the kingdom." So we don't want to be influenced negatively by anyone else when we know God's will. John 8:29 says, "And he that sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him." Jesus was the perfect example of always doing the Father's will. And in Psalm 32:8, he says, "I'll instruct you and teach you in the way which you shall go, I will guide you with my eye. And so God's promises to show us the decision that will please him. If we ask, Lord, you know, whatever the decision is, Lord, help me to know what it is that would please you. His promise is that he'll show that to us. And he's the only one we need. He's the only one we need to please. So he ought to be the first one we ask. What is it that would please you? So the first three principles are that the spiritual over the carnal, the eternal over the temporal, God's will over man's will, and finally, principle number four is this idea of commitment over convenience. Commitment over convenience. And verses 19 to 23 go on. Joshua says to the people, you cannot serve the Lord, for he is a holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions nor your sins. If you forsake the Lord and serve foreign gods, he will turn and do you harm and consume you. After that, he has done you good. And the people said unto Joshua, nay, but we will serve the Lord. And Joshua said unto the people, you are witnesses against yourselves that you have chosen the Lord to serve him. And they said, we are witnesses. So, and they finally ends, now therefore put away, said he, the foreign gods which are among you, and incline your heart unto the Lord God of Israel. So even at this point, there apparently was still that pull to the foreign gods, and he was still pleading with them, put them away. And the same is true for us. We have all kinds of pulls from the world, and we need to be saying, okay, Lord, which one do you want me to give up? So implied in verse 19 is that the people couldn't serve the Lord because it wasn't convenient for them. Is God too holy for your lifestyle? You know, it does cost in serving the Lord, right? Commitment means staying loyal to what you said you were going to do. I like this saying. Staying loyal to what you said you were going to do long after the mood you set it in has left you. And that's what God is asking for, is that commitment, the willingness to do even when the feeling is not there. No longer based on feeling, but based on commitment, based on faith. You know, rivers are crooked. Why are they crooked? Because they will always take the path of least resistance over the ground. Unfortunately, that's why a lot of Christians are crooked in their spirituality too, because they take the path of least resistance. Rather, in other words, what's convenient? Well, I'll go to church today because it's convenient. But next week, it looks like it may be raining today. I don't know. I could get wet. Instead of standing up straight and saying, I'm going by the book. So are we going to go by the book? So the four principles are, one, the spiritual over the carnal, the eternal over the temporal, God's will over man's will, and commitment over convenience. So how did Jesus make all the right choices? Let's look just quickly at the end here at Jesus. Did Jesus choose the spiritual over the carnal? Did he seek God first? You know, in Matthew 4, the temptations, the first temptation was to meet his physical need over the spiritual need? Did Jesus make the right choice? Absolutely. And he said, no, it's by living by every word that God says that I live, not by filling my physical need. The eternal over temporal. In other words, this idea of gaining the whole world but losing the soul. Did Jesus make the right choice there? The third temptation was, I'll give you the whole world. You just bow down and worship me. So Jesus chose, made the right choice. He was not going to gain the whole world, but lose his soul in the process. And then God's will over man's will. The Garden of Gethsemane is probably the best example of that, of not my will, but thy will be done. So he was example there. And then commitment over convenience. Luke 9 is the story of Jesus setting his face like flint to Jerusalem. And the disciples knew this was his last trip to Jerusalem. The things were going to go very bad for him. But he still chose to set his face towards Jerusalem. He was committed even when it wasn't convenient. So how about you and all the right choices? Do you want to choose the spiritual over the carnal? Seek first the kingdom of God. Leave the consequences to God. The eternal over the temporal. Don't fall for gaining the whole world, but losing your soul. God's will over man. We want to choose God's will, not my will. And finally, obey the Ten Commandments by God's grace, even if it's not convenient. So, I hope those four principles we can use, be thinking about in our daily choices and so forth. We're going to close with the hymn number 537, He Leadeth Me. 537.
His own hand, he leadeth me. His faithful.
Father God, thank you for your words that you've spoken, and I just pray that each one of us, by your grace, will choose to follow these principles, to choose to put you first, to seek your kingdom first, your will first, and to, by your grace, commit to follow you even if it's not convenient. Bless us now as we continue through this day with you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
You can be seated.